Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back there.
What up, everybody? It's B. Mitch and Finley with no B. Mitch or no Finley. They are traveling back from Spain. So you get the, what are we, the B team, the C team? It's Denton Day and Linnell Willingham.
I would just never, ever call myself a B player. We are A players. Everyone's an A player. We're
right,
better
so
than the
B
Commanders.
Team and the C team. Well, they're the D team right now. Pause. We got a lot to discuss with what happened yesterday. It was kind of embarrassing the way that that game ended.
Is that how you took it?
Washington loses 16-13. Embarrassing because the kicker is not very good.
Well, we've known that.
Yeah.
It just sucks that he actually cost us a game. That's the tough part.
But you knew that was going to happen. Not only, it's not the fact that he cost the team the game that is really awful. It's the fact that he not only missed one, but two kicks in front of a proud soccer country like Spain.
It was tough.
Professionals of kicking balls.
Yeah.
Pause. Professionals of kicking balls, and that dude was shanking kicks left and
he
right.
He was objectively bad yesterday. But that's what he's been all season. So I don't get worked up about it. I'm not too discouraged.
Well, there's nothing to be discouraged
about. What happened yesterday is exactly exactly what we needed to happen, I would say.
Yeah, you lose a game and you win a battle in the sweepstakes for Reuben Bain.
Yeah, you were competitive yesterday. That was my big thing. As I thought the way the game started, knowing how Devon Achane's just doing whatever he wants. I mean, the run defense yesterday was pitiful.
I don't know why they didn't give him the ball 40 times yesterday.
Every play.
And just run to the right every single time.
Every play. I would have given him the football every single play. We had nobody setting the edge. Guys are getting blown off the ball in the interior. I was disappointed in the run defense, but I think, as we'll discuss throughout the show, the defense was marketably better yesterday. I don't think anybody could argue that. Now, Miami is not the best litmus test, I would say, but they did play well. I will give them credit. There were a couple of really spirited goal line stops. I thought the run and hit was there, except for those two Devon Achane runs where he should have lost 6 and 7 yards, ends up gaining 10 because guys aren't flying to the football. We're a team that I think is just ready for next year. I'm not saying they're playing like that. I'm saying I'm ready for next year.
I was ready for next year 2 weeks ago. It does feel like that they're not on 1-2-3 Cancun, but their hands are in the middle.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of waiting to cheat.
They're ready to do the bit.
Cancun. I will tell you this, though. I was frustrated with one thing. Dan Quinn can call defense. What took him so long? There was a difference. Are you going to sit here and argue that there wasn't a difference between the play calling between the two of them?
I would say so. And they were trying to highlight it throughout the broadcast too, saying that they were playing more zone.
You know what really sucks the most about the team not being very good? We likely are going to get a lot more Jonathan Vilma.
Dude.
You know who I don't need in my life?
I
do not need Jonathan Vilma calling
if
games.
If he tries to do the 6-7 bit one more time.
God.
I literally cringe every single time. It's the worst thing ever.
He tried it with the president. He tried it again. Yet, like, enough with the 6-7. He's worse than the teenagers.
Kenny Albert's going to smack him if he continues to do it.
That's what I love, by the way.
I love Kenny Albert.
But Vilma is such a tough listen that I don't even want to listen to Kenny Albert. Sorry, you were making a point about that. I just had to make it clear that is a terrible broadcast.
If you want to steer and go that direction, I am lead the way because he was not only was he bad, he may be the worst. I was literally thinking as I'm watching it, there must be just no one else out there that wants the job.
Well, it feels like every other international game is either like Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner or some combination of NFL Network talent.
We just got Fox's D team.
And then you know, they said it last week. They're like, yeah, we'll be out there in Spain. I thought they were talking about like the royal we.
Just going.
Like, I thought just like people will be out there in Spain. And you know how I talk about myself in the second person sometimes? Yeah. I'm like, we are doing good if it's literally just me. I thought they were talking to the second person. I didn't think it was actually going to be them out there in Spain.
I couldn't believe it. And he was, well, first of all, he does this bit where he thinks Frankie Louvu is our best defender. He said it last week.
I know.
Said it this week.
He loves linebackers. That's why.
He loves not saying anything of relevance. That's what he loves doing. I mean, just, and I've done, we've both, I don't know how much play-by-play you've gotten to do. I've done play-by-play where the color analyst just doesn't bring anything to the table. I felt for Kenny Albert. And then he said, the one time he was like, is he on drugs? I was like, what are you talking about, Vilma? Like, what are you, come on, dude.
He's trying to do the Bobby Three Sticks bit where he just says something that goes viral. That's why he keeps doing the 6-7 thing.
Did he not see what happened to Robert?
Oh, he's still calling games.
Well, he said something egregious a couple of weeks ago that I don't know if you've seen the.
Who, Robert?
Yeah.
The best thing that I have done this year is muting Robert Griffin.
Yeah, he's doing what, FS1?
He's actually not terrible at Fox. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Joe Witt not calling defense, Dan Quinn calling defense. To me, they were better.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn has what is an instinctual sense when it comes to defensive play calling. Calling blitzes. I mean, they ran a corner blitz with Jonathan Jones, I think that it was, coming off the edge that was beautifully timed, especially on what is the backside to Tua because he's left-handed. Like, there was an instinctual difference. There was also guys playing harder. I mean, Bobby Wagner diving at the goal line. We haven't seen a play like that from him in probably 6 years.
I would love to get to one Bobby Wagner.
Please.
It's time.
It's time. You ready for him? Him and Ertz? Because Ertz, I'm ready for Ertz too.
Well, it's a weekly death taxes and a false start from your future Hall of Fame tight end. It's a gut punch every time
it
happens.
And the worst part is the false starts are never like speedy.
No.
It's never like he's getting a great release off the line. Yeah, it's usually like a falling forward bit, and you're just like, ah, damn it, Zach.
Yeah. But I tweeted this out yesterday. My biggest takeaway from yesterday, and this is, I hate that it feels like I'm about to be negative, but shocker. It's a really bad look that this coaching staff was not playing Jordan McGee the entire season. He, without a shadow of a doubt, is the best linebacker they have. It's not even close. Bobby made a couple of plays at the goal line, or that one play at the goal line. Other than that, he's a big reason why they couldn't stop the run, dude. Picking wrong gaps, slow scraping over the top. I mean, he looked bad out there yesterday.
I don't know if it was a Devon H-Chan run or if it was an Ollie Gordon run.
Well, they didn't want any parts of Ollie Gordon.
Bobby picked the wrong gap.
Yeah.
And Gordon cuts, counters it back, left side, and then he's, you know, in the open field.
But my thing is,
and
like,
Reeves had to chase him down from behind because Reeves is, he shut off a speed a little bit there, but he missed first and then he got him from behind.
It just goes back to some of these runs hit because guys aren't in their gap. And I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for a lack of gap integrity. It's like defense 101. It's frustrating to watch them play the run right now.
They're bad. They're
horrible.
The fact that Miami won, they were smart in overtime to keep running the football. I was like, are they going to let Tua throw the ball? Which, by the way, sending him out as your captain at halftime or at overtime, I thought Tua was going to say the wrong thing. I mean, if there's a guy that you maybe want to avoid doing that, It would have been Tua. Like, at least we had Laremy Tunsil out there, and Tunsil is in sound mind.
Right.
Tua is very much not. I was like, you should probably not have him be your decision maker right there.
Yeah. It's,
but they can run the football. That's Mike McDaniel's best attribute has always been his design of run plays. And then against his defense, they should have run it. They only ran it 31 times.
Malpractice.
40 times.
Literal malpractice. Every run, I don't think they had any negative runs. It felt like all day long. There were a couple of tackles for loss. I won't hyperbolize it.
But your two main running backs averaged 5 yards a carry.
And they just would not continue to run it. I didn't understand it at all. I thought it kept Washington in the game. But good for them. There were some standouts on both sides of the ball, though. I thought, as we're watching here in the final 6-7 games, you know, you're obviously trying to pay attention to guys that you want to be a part of this thing next year. And I think even some of the veterans, like I was a big, big Eddie Goldman fan yesterday.
He's had a good season.
He's continued to come up big for them after retiring, twice and not really
the
knowing.
The irony of him being the biggest question mark from their free agent signings because of the retire bit that he did, just being unsure of what he was going to look like.
Yeah.
He's been one of the brighter signs from the entire season because he doesn't suck.
Yeah,
which
right.
is, I mean, that's the bar. Just don't be awful.
You know?
But he's made a couple of really good plays.
Yeah. I just got a text saying you got to show Denton that clip. It was the Robert Griffin. I have to show you.
Show me during a break.
Robert's a total idiot. But to your point, I do think the defense played better. Like I said a moment ago, I don't know how good of a litmus test Miami was. They sabotaged themselves. Jordan Brooks had 20 tackles yesterday, by the way. Just flying around the place.
That is insane.
Insane number of tackles. But
Bobby Wagner had he needed one to get 100. He ended up having 8. So that's good for him.
I'll be honest, and maybe, you know, callers will put me in my place as a role throughout the show. I'm just not a fan of 54.
You've held that stance for a while.
He's totally holding the defense back. He's just, his lateral speed going east and west compromises you anytime someone tries to get on the edge. He just cannot move.
The problem is they get on the edge really quick. I mean, at one point, Von Miller was getting stonewalled by a receiver when trying to get out.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough look. It was 19. I don't know who 19 is for Miami.
Was that Malik Washington?
I think Washington 6. But he just completely stonewalled Von Miller. I was like, what is happening right now?
Run defense was bad yesterday. But as a whole, looking at it from like the perspective of glass half full, I thought, to your point, it felt like it was a good feel from Dan calling it. I know they ran a lot more zone. I thought you saw them playing faster even when they were giving up completions. But I thought Miami's game plan sucked, if I'm being real. But
they didn't take I don't think they really took a true deep shot the entire game.
They tried one to Waddle that was covered really well.
Wagner,
ironically enough, was underneath Quan Martin and Darnell Savage over the top out. That was the one deep shot I think.
Yeah, there was the Mikey Sanders little dropped interception.
Yeah.
I wish that was the only drop he had, but he had, you know, another one. So we'll get into that. I mean, there's a lot to dissect from the game. We're just gonna like really, you know, honing in on the defense. I thought they played well enough to win the football game, albeit against a bad team.
Yeah.
And again, I don't really want them to win. Like, we've reached the point of the season where I don't want them to win. I want to see what we saw yesterday, which is you were competitive and then you lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what we saw at the end of the Ron Rivera tenure, and it landed Jaden Daniels here. And you clearly need a dude on the defensive line, and there is a dude available.
Several
plays
dudes.
From Miami and Reuben Bain. He is the top prospect. There's a number of other guys that are going to be available if you are drafting super high. And this was kind of a win for you in that regard. And then, hey, you lose. It stinks, but you look good. Debo looked good. This was his best game in a while. I mean, Ertz caught 4 passes. This was his best game in a while. Chris Moore caught 2 passes. I mean, there were some things that you could point to and say this was solid, but you still end up losing. And that's, at this point in the season, it sucks because it's not Thanksgiving yet, but that's where you are.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta count your blessings, so to speak, is the best way that I can put it. I feel bad for this team, and we've spoke about this over the last several weeks. Jalen Lane now goes out. Jacoby Jones, first career catch,
25
yards, and should have been something that helped them win the game. But the injuries at receiver, the injuries everywhere, first and foremost, are just brutal. But Jalen Lane goes out yesterday. Like, holy cow.
Could he not have, like, caught one punt?
Just one.
One more?
Yeah.
Like, is that too much to...
If he catches the punt, do we lose still, though? So, you know, that's my whole thing.
Probably, because you were going to rely on the kicker anyway.
Well, yeah. And he's just not...
He's not good.
It's not good at his job.
By the way, I am of the belief, and maybe I'm in the minority here, and we can expound on this a little bit more. I don't think you should cut him. If you paid him the guaranteed money, go out there and kick.
Yeah.
And if this is the last job that you ever see in the NFL because you're not good, so be it.
Yeah.
Go out there and kick. We paid you guaranteed money. I'm not trying to pay you to not work.
I agree.
Especially now that we're in the position where we're fighting for draft stock and not to actually win football games. Get out there, son.
Who was the kicker that we had when we landed Jaden Daniels that missed the field goal against the Jets? Was that Joey Sly?
I think it might have been Joey Sly, but it was more so Greg the Leg hitting one.
Yeah,
right. It was Greg the Leg, Greg Zuerlein hitting one. It was a long one, but thank you, Greg.
Yeah. I'll say this, too. I think it kind of goes back to the Jordan McGee bit. One, it's to me, it's a terrible look by this coaching staff that he hasn't been playing. But then it's like another game where you're short guys and you still can't see a guy like Kane Medrano active. So I'm looking down the stretch to see
who played really well on special teams, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fly. You want to talk about speed. I don't know the IQ of Kane Medrano yet, but the speed is there because he was flying on teams yesterday.
You just got to see it come up on with defensive snaps. Like, that's what I want to see. Jazon Newton had a big opportunity yesterday. Don't know if he made the most of it. Still have my doubts and reservations about him.
Couple fine plays, but nothing game-breaking.
Yeah, just need him to stand out a little bit more. I thought Colson Yankoff on teams and the one catch that he had was pretty impressive.
I did think that the broadcast crew was hilarious because it didn't feel like they wanted to say the name Yankoff.
Yeah.
It felt like Kenny Albert thought he was being punked when Yankoff was on the board. But
When the spotter points, Yankoff!
Like, yeah, he's like, no.
It's not who that guy is. No, that's exactly who he is. Once again, too, it's another really strong Marcus Mariota performance, if we're being honest. The interception, obviously, in overtime stings you. But he was really efficient again, you know, for this offense. And I think, I don't know if this was the other day we were talking about this, trying to find nice things to say about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I think it's quarterback friendly. That's how I would put it. I think anybody you put in there will have, you know, a microcosm of success. Not to take away from what Jaden and Marcus do, but I do think the system is quarterback friendly. For whatever reason, though, like this affinity, and I'm ready to say it here, this affinity with Bill Kroski Merritt's got to stop. Your best running back
is Chris Rodriguez.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's Chris Rodriguez.
And it has been for 2 years now.
He should be touching the ball 20 plus times a game.
Yeah.
He is he embodies one what you want to be from a physicality standpoint. He's falling forward, he's running with good pad level. You've got to continue to reward him with carries. Bill getting damn near 10 carries yesterday, I thought was totally pointless.
And it felt like, well, that's what made me have this assumption that there was an element where they are buying into, we don't want to win right now. Because Chris Rodriguez in the first half was excellent. I think he carried the ball maybe 3 times on that first possession, and I don't know that we saw him again. It was Bill from the rest of the way in the third quarter and on. They are in on the analytic people are understanding it's probably not in the best interest to be winning games right now. Tanking is a tough word to use in the NFL just because of the physicality of it. But it's very clear that Chris Rodriguez was your best runner yesterday. And unless there was a reported injury that, you know, flew under the radar, I didn't see anything. Have you seen anything about an injury? I didn't see anything. He was averaging 5.3 yards a carry.
He just didn't see him enough.
And he only touched the ball 15 times. That can't happen.
No.
You got to if you are serious about like really winning the football game, you give him more carries. And this is now the second year in a row where it's taking them until late November to realize he's pretty good. We should give him the football. He runs with a ferocity that we've been preaching about, and then for whatever reason, they just did not give him the ball in the second half yet.
Yeah, I don't understand. It frustrates me though because I don't think this is them trying to lose. I just think,
well, they're just not good.
I just think there's something missing with our offensive minds in terms of that position.
Which was frustrating because, you know, Cliff had a decent game calling the game, I thought, for the first half or so. Again, put Marcus in some really good spots, and then the wheels were just kind of off in the second half. Even though they scored immediately on the first drive, and then everything was just gonzo.
I mean, but you see it happen week in and week out. And we talked about it when we had Vaughn on last week. They're fourth in the NFL in offensive penalties. They do this bit week in and week out where they absolutely sabotage drives.
It's always false starts.
Multiple times throughout a game, and it puts them behind the sticks. And when you have this type of injury situation, the margin for error is just not very big. And you saw it happen yesterday. It was a big reason why they only scored 13.
The frustrating thing is never like it's a holding. It's always a false start.
But
like
no, but then, but that's my thing.
And that's
illegal shifts, illegal formations. Like, are you paying attention to what your assignment is?
Discipline stuff that you should have had ironed out in week 3. And the fact that you're in November in an international game and still your veteran players are the ones that are making these flubs. It's not like Connolly's hitting a false start every single possession. Right. It's
he played well again yesterday, too.
Yeah, he did. He played well. It's Ertz. It's the veterans that constantly are jumping and because they had 6 penalties for 31 yards. If you do quick math there, 6 times 5 is 30.
So yeah,
there was one play where
starts.
He got a 6-yard penalty, but the rest of it was false starts. It's just you should be well past that point, and the fact that you're not is kind of embarrassing. Not even kind of. It's very embarrassing. It's Beamish and Finley. The fellas heading back from Spain. They'll be back tomorrow, so you get Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. There were some game balls that we're going to hand out. We will do that. When we return, we will open the phone lines, cut up some blame pie at 11 a.m. So start to line the phones. We'll get to you at 11 a.m. It is a Misery Monday presented by Shinigo Miles here on 106.7 The Fan. Shinigo Miles, a top 25 workplace. Visit careers.mios.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Benton's back with us, not back from Madrid. He never went to Madrid. But nobody knew that you weren't in Madrid. Who cares? I heard it was a lot of fun. One of my sons went with a bunch of his friends. He said it was an absolute blast, but pain in the ass to get into the stadium, apparently. Very slow going to get into the stadium for fans. So where do we start? I guess we start with the game, even though the result doesn't matter much. This season is now pretty much over, if it wasn't already. What'd you think of yesterday's, you know, effort in a 16-13 loss to Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, you know, the first number you just mentioned was 16, not 44 or something outrageous like that. So, So at a minimum level, you say, hey, look, you know, the defense did a better job. And look, I know that Miami is certainly not a contender the way they've been facing the last few weeks, but, you know, they were able to sort of hold off those like massive chunk plays. There were just a lot of 10 and 15 plays by Devin.
Yeah, lots of them.
Yeah, he still had like 100.
Some 30s and 20s, too. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah.
Who's counting?
Yeah. He's counting. Jalen Waddle, didn't quite go off the way I thought maybe he would, considering, you know, his abilities.
He dropped two balls right in his hands, wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And, you know, prior to that, you know, interception and overtime, you know, Mariota did what he does, you know, effective, a lot of quick passes. I think it was like one of their high. I think it was like maybe their highest percentage of the year of throws.
A quick game
under 2.5 seconds. That was clearly something they wanted to do. You know, and that's all fine. But everything I just said sort of is in that, you know, moral victory type deal. And I don't put moral victories in the pro level as a real thing. And, you know, I remember that first half against Kansas City, and the notion was, hey, look, they played better, more of that, et cetera. And my view at that time was the only way for this team to have success is the other team has to stumble. I like the Chiefs did in that first half. Washington really didn't stop them, you know, too much on defense. Anyway, Chiefs went on, you know, we know what happened in the rest of the second half. We know what happened in the next two games. And I'm saying that to note that even though it looked more competent for sure, they were also playing a terrible team. And I think the games against Kansas City, Seattle, and Detroit showed that, okay, this team isn't even close to being with the contenders. This game against Miami showed they are actually a bad team, because both of these teams really were trying to, like, give it away. There were a lot of weird things happening. It was, you know, not a – it's a classic game that we all, you know, sort of make fun of. It's just it's less – funny when it's your team that you pay attention to.
Yeah, it's not as entertaining when it's your team on the short end of the 9:30 a.m. against a bad football team. Yeah, I you know, the truth is, though, it was just, for me anyway, I'm not speaking for all of you or you, Ben, it was just nice to actually watch a game that was competitive start to finish rather than having it basically over at the end of the first quarter or early in the second, you know, like we've seen the last couple of weeks. Because it gives us a chance, if we want to, and I've already done it, but to talk about some of, you know, the decisions, the fourth and goal situation with Washington, the fourth and goal situation with Mike McDaniel, which I thought was dumb. I don't care what the analytics say. The context was they had been blown up on three straight plays heading into that fourth down, and Washington had one total touchdown on the day. Anyway,
and
what did you think?
On the sideline.
What'd you say?
On the sideline,
he had been hurt on the play before that Kinlaw blew up.
Right. Plus, I mean, look, I get it. Like, again, neither one of these teams is that great, but I'm going to roll the dice that, you know, I can stop Washington's offense with the limited options they have from, you know, getting into field goal range. Plus, as we know, you know, they don't have I'm blanking on the Dallas kicker's name. They don't have, you know,
Brandon Aubrey, right?
Brandon Aubrey, sorry. Yeah, they don't have a guy that's making it from 60. So, I agree. I thought that was a weird bit, especially when it's one thing if Miami does that when they're playing against a heavyweight, not against another team at their level. But anyway, I'm with you, though. It was fun, to, regardless of how we got there, to have a game that was in the balance, like that there were actual in-game decisions that are interesting to consider, regardless of where the teams are at. That was way more fun, for sure, than, you know, watching the other team run up and down the field. You know, it's funny, I was the Sunday night game, you know, the Eagles beat the Lions, and I was watching that, like, it was like 5 minutes to go, and the Lions had 6 points. And it was a really, the Eagles defense, wow, they're just crazy. They made the Lions look incompetent. And then I'm like, wait a minute, the week before, the Lions scored on 8 different possessions, and here they were with 5 minutes to go, had 6 points against the Eagles. Like, it just goes to show just, like, how far removed Washington is from that big, you know, that contender conversation. And I guess
that was a big boy defensive game, and I thought the same thing watching it last night. I mean, literally Detroit could gain 10 to 15 yards on any play they had on their play sheet last week, and Goff was like 14 for 39 or something in this game. It was unbelievable how good Philadelphia's defense was last night. God, it's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was quite, you know, quite impressive. And again, just to see the contrast, the week-to-week difference in the Lions was notable for this group. And, I think, I don't know, man. I mean, we've discussed, you know, they've already made the big move, obviously, with Dan Quinn taking over as defensive coordinator. And I guess just to mention that aspect of it, you know, I haven't watched the
I was going to ask yet, you.
I think people pointed out that Jonathan Jones blitz that came in and from the corner, and just like a play like that alone was like, whoa, wait a minute, where's this been? Well, we haven't seen this type of
That seemed to be the first corner blitz we've seen this year. I'm sure they had one or two others, but it didn't seem like it.
Certainly none that got even to, you know, forget that he got the sack, but even got to the quarterback to force some sort of pressure. So, you know, they looked a little more connected. You know, it seemed like Frankie Louvu was maybe more of a presence than we've seen in some of these games and so on. So, you know, there were some good things on that front in terms of, like, you know, just a different voice maybe calling things. But, you know, again, they're just so limited with personnel that there's, you know, there's only so much they can do that, you know, they'll get Deron Payne back after the bye, but I don't think that's going to change too much at this point.
Yeah. I think I may have asked you this at some point last week, but do you have any clue as to whether or not the next time they play on Sunday Night Football, if it still remains on Sunday night, if it doesn't get flexed out against Denver, if there's a chance that Jaden Daniels will be back?
Yeah, there's been, for what it's worth, there's been some reports this morning on social media from people about that the game won't be flexed. I didn't really quite understand why they...
I was guessing that it wouldn't be, yeah. early in the show.
I mean, Denver is like arguably the best team in the AFC. So,
right.
So we're, you know, right in that discussion. Dan Quinn told us a couple weeks ago that we'll get an update following the bye. So even if he's going to come back, Jaden Daniels, I can't imagine it's this game. You know, I just based on, you know, without knowing too many of the specifics of the injury, since we don't know much, but based beyond what Dan Quinn's already said, my sense was like a month would be sort of, you know, the minimum time he'd probably have to miss based on a dislocated elbow without, you know, ligament damage. So, you know, I think the last four games, the ones against the division foes, those are the ones that I've been sort of paying attention to. So I can't imagine he's back for Denver. After that, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what Dan Quinn tells us. I guess, you know, I know you've discussed it a lot. The question is, you know, do you play him no matter what? And I've sort of landed on, as long as there's enough runway to make the games meaningful, because he needs the reps, he's a young guy and all that, but, you know, one game does not do anything for me. Two games, I don't know, maybe. But if he's able to play the last three or four, you know, that gives you some momentum. That gives you a chance to really try to, you know, fix some things and get this going to give you some momentum for next year at a minimum. And so that's where I'm at with this. If he can come back for the last three or four games, I think that to me makes sense. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if the risk is worth the reward considering the injuries, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if he can't go until December 20th in that Saturday game against Philadelphia, and it's the Eagles, Cowboys, and Eagles to finish up, and by the way, everything else on the roster is even more depleted, which is almost impossible, but let's just say that they've got another four or five players off the street playing for them at that point. Yeah, but if he can come back for Denver, or let's just say the Minnesota game in the final five in December, I want to see him play. And I want to see him play regardless of who's out there with him. And, you know, they can worry about protecting him in the mode of, we're not playing for a playoff berth here. So if it's Robbie Chosen and Jacoby Jones and Ja'Cory, you know, whatever his name is, Brooks out there, you know, we're gonna do some quick things. We're going to do some things that they did yesterday. We're going to try to run the football a little bit more. We're not going to put it all on him. But I want to see him play, unless we get down to the final two and it's like, you know, they're even more, you know, they've got a completely, you know, unrecognizable supporting group around him. I'd prefer that.
One thing I think is fascinating, though, it's speaking of injuries, like, so Terry McLaurin, you know, will have been out 4 weeks once we get past the bye, right? So that'll be the second time he'd missed four games in a row, I think, since with these injuries. And it's amazing how this guy, who has been obviously a focal point for this franchise for years, who was the dominant talking point, not just for this franchise during the summer, but one of the big talking points in the league.
Yeah, the league.
It's just been like this injury, it's almost like whatever. Like, I mean, he'll come back, he won't. We don't even discuss it. Like, and if he doesn't come back this week, then I do think we need to, you know, ask a lot more questions about what the heck is happening here with his injury and the recovery.
Well, let's not wait. I'm asking you what the hell's going on here. One of our, you know, regular callers said to me, well, you know, there's no chance that Terry's coming back. And I said, well, of course there's a chance. His one-year contract extension actually is for next year. And I think it would be very costly if they tried to walk away from that. So what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's doing what he can to try to come back. I don't question that. I mean, you know, whenever we have these discussions, oh, guy's pissed off at the team, he doesn't want to play. But these guys have a finite amount of time to do this
right
thing. Like, it's not about the money necessarily. You can't, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but you can't play NFL football when you're 50. So it's either he does it or he doesn't. So I don't imagine that he's like, you know, purposely sitting out or anything like that. Now, is he taking his extra time to make sure that he's as in tip-top shape as possible, maybe in ways he didn't before? I don't know. That's part of what's interesting about this. But, you know, I'll say this for Terry. If he wanted, you know, the whole point of the contract discussion was how important he is. I think he's only bolstered his case this year. Now, it doesn't make any difference. They're not redoing the contract. But, man, I mean, his everything with his scenario feels like it has just, you know, been the...
Especially been the considering the one game he did play in, he played. Right. He had some really memorable catches against the Chiefs. And, you know, I said, because, you know, I didn't think it got talked about by the broadcast team of Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma yesterday, but the deep throw before the 56-yard missed field goal was a drop-in-the-bucket throw by Mariota to Chris Moore. And it's exactly the catch that Terry makes. Like, 100%. That's a Terry catch at the end of the game that Chris Moore, for some reason, decided to try to one-hand it. Yeah. So
I don't understand. I'm going to do this later. Nobody steal this. I'm just going to say it out loud. Chris Moore has 10 catches. He's played about 59% of the snaps this year. I'm trying to look to see what's the highest percentage of snaps versus the lowest number of catches, because it's unbelievable to me. Like, I get it. A lot of it has to do with, like, routes run, and there's things on the plays, you know, there's blocking. He's got, you know, he does have some speed, things like that. There's things that go beyond just his individual aspect. But, man, what? You're telling me there's nobody else on this roster that can play that X position? Like, it is bizarre that he's just so unproductive.
It's the only guy out there, and Debo's different, but from that X spot, It's the only guy they trust to actually run the correct routes and to run them at the proper depth. And without that, the whole play gets mixed up, because apparently the Seattle game, I think it was just a complete cluster, you know what, from about the routes that were run, the depths that they were run at, against, by the way, a great defense too, which just messed everything up. So they must trust him. All of these guys that they've pulled out, you know, out of practice squads in the street to do what the play says he's supposed to do. That's why.
Yeah, clearly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what? Like, I just find that, like, hard to believe that if the relative light amount of production versus the number of plays, I just don't feel like that would be going anywhere else on this roster. You know, I mean, other positions, it's the same type of situation is happening. You move that guy out and put somebody else in, and somehow he's the only guy that they trust to do this. It's just, again, it goes back to the lack of depth. It's not like, I don't know if, like, Noah Brown would be running these routes if he was healthy, which is a whole other story that we haven't discussed, how Noah Brown is easily ready to be to come off of IR if he wants. You know, it's not even being mentioned as a possibility. Something that we should be asking Dan Quinn about as well.
You know, if they're going to play Jaden and he's going to be healthy enough to play, I want it to be with Terry and Noah Brown in the most amount of normal you can get as a supporting cast. Now, he's still going to be out there with, you know, the worst defense in the league or the second worst defense, depending on whether or not you think it's ours or Cincinnati's. But, you know, you give him a chance to be productive offensively. And by the way, for Mariota, if that's the case, I want Terry out there with Mariota if Jaden can't go, because you see a lot of the same issues, you know, with separation, with route running. And then, you know, he makes a great throw at the end of the game. The best throw he probably has made. And you got a guy that can't pull it in. Anyway, what else from the game or, you know, looking ahead? Because I'll tell you what, the list is going to be long, and it's going to make for an interesting offseason, and we're going to have these conversations earlier than we certainly anticipated having these conversations. But, you know, just beware that the offensive line and the quarterback, outside of that, you know, I think Kinlaw is certainly, you know, a positive. We'll see whether or not Dorrance Armstrong can come off that torn ACL. Hopefully he can. But the list is going to be long, and it's going to start with defensive coordinator.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think we're both probably in the same camp of, like, look, we can't imagine it'd be really any massive change. Like, the defensive coordinator is probably the biggest one, except that They're 3-8, and you know, you can, you know, will they win another game this year? I mean, you know, it's the NFL, probably win another one or two somehow, but you can't look at the schedule and tell me what those games are going to be. You know, the one, you know, the Giants are the one team with the worst record, and that's in New York. So, you know, who knows? And, you know,
right.
If Jameis is a quarterback, Jameis could be amazing or terrible. Who knows? So, you know, what does that mean going forward? I think, you know, in terms of these last few games, like, I think if you're a reasonable person, I think it's fair to say, okay, we flogged Dan Quinn and the coaching staff enough at this point. There's only so much they can do with the personnel they have until Jaden is back or Terry is back. You know, what can they do? And the defense is that they don't necessarily help the defense much. But I do think now the spotlight shifts away from that towards the front office, because not only is it about, well, what do you do now going forward, and you only have, you know, a limited amount of draft picks, but the draft picks you do have, other than the quarterback, what are you pointing to say going into 2026, we feel like we've got pieces here that we can, you know, count on? Trey Amos, okay, if you want to say that, sure. We said the same thing about Mikey Sanders still last year, and I think that's more of a up in the air now. But okay, I'll give you Trey Amos. Other than that, like, I mean, Johnny Newton still was playing the same amount of snaps as, like, Eddie Goldman in yesterday's game. That doesn't bode well if he's going to be the guy filling in next year for Daron Payne, right? You would like to think that they would, hey, we got to play this guy more. At the moment, they're choosing not to. And then, you know, you go beyond that. I mean, Brandon Coleman had a good impact in the game yesterday as the sixth offensive lineman. Obviously, Sinnott was hurt. He was out. McCaffrey's been out. But what are we, you know, where are the players that you can say from these two draft classes that are going to definitively be, you know, starters next year? I don't know we can say that. So to me, these last six games is about that as much as anything else. So
yeah, but Tim, several of those guys are out. He might not see, you're not going to see Amos. You might not see Lane. I don't know what his injury was. We may not see Sinnott. You know, we aren't going to see McCaffrey. I mean, the list goes on that front too. You know, here's the other thing to consider, and it's something you've pointed out the last two off seasons, which is true, because the path that they've taken with all of these one-year deals means at the end of each of these seasons, there's great cap flexibility, but you know, you also have to fill out a roster. You got to have 90 when you get to OTAs and mini camps and training camp. So there's going to be, I mean, what do they have? Something like 15, 16 guys that are unrestricted going into the offseason. I think I looked at this list the other day. It's long again.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's not. Yeah, they have a ton of guys. They have the third fewest amount of players under contract next year, last time I looked on over the cap. And, yeah, they have a lot to consider. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just like we know there's areas that they need to shore up, obviously. But that's based on looking at this team sort of now. Now you strip away, you know, we can say Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner are up there. Cool, but we don't know definitively who's replacing them. We can guess, but we don't know that the guys on the roster are the answers. That means you got to go out and get those pieces on top of pass rushers, on top of more speed on offense, another receiver. Are they happy with the running back group, et cetera? Right. So other than quarterback and offensive line, which are two very important pieces or, you know, areas, no doubt about that. It is a lot of the up in the air for this team. And I think that's the part to me that's been the scariest. Sometimes teams have lost seasons and injuries are a huge deal, but you look ahead, I'm like, okay, well, Jaden can only do so much. what else is happening around here? I think the offense, you know, realistically, like probably doesn't take a ton for them to add to feel pretty good about the offense, you know, draft another receiver or you know, find some speed.
By the way, they need to bring Mariota back.
Oh, I would sign him now. The guy,
They got to bring Chris Paul back.
Yeah.
They've got to extend Tunsil.
Yeah, no, all true. And then, you know, they have to make a decision of what are they doing with Zach Ertz. We can discuss that later. But, yeah, I mean, I think that like I said, the offense is probably not that big of a deal, relatively speaking. They need to get more help, no doubt. But the defense, man, it is really hard to look at this defense right now and say what this is going to look like next year and how to say it's going to be so much improve when there's just not that much to work with right now? Is like, yeah, you at least have this, you know, for the last umpteen years, we kept saying, well, at least they have Allen, Payne, Sweat, and Young. And then piece by piece, they went away. And now it's potentially none of those guys will be there. So by next year. So, and then, you know, Dorrance Armstrong, cool. He'll be back. He's coming off an ACL surgery. I don't know what he'll be like next year. So, yeah, the defense, a lot of questions for sure.
Yeah, they have, I mean, yeah, the defense, this was the, you know, the offseason that just was, and it's probably even more depleted this year because you're not going to, I don't think you're going to re-sign Bobby Wagner. I can't imagine that you're going to re-sign Bobby Wagner and bring him back. At the age he is. All right. What else? Anything?
Do you, I'm just curious, do you care? Do you want them to bring in another kicker, you know, between now and
the end of the season?
Well, at least to like try it out. I mean, even if you leave Matt Gay, you know.
I mean, you know, everybody, you know, the league's gone through and churned through a lot of these guys. I mean, there's been so many injuries this year, so many kickers that have been moved on from. So, you know, I don't know who would be out there. There's not a lot of options.
Right. Well, I mean, look, Miami's kicker yesterday was a guy that was with this team
in the preseason.
You know, the part of the reason they went out and got Matt Gay was even though he was inconsistent with 50 plus with Indianapolis leading to them moving on, like he's known to have a big leg. And Washington last year didn't have kickers that they could trust at down 50. And then what happens yesterday? Zane Gonzalez hits a 52 yarder for Atlanta in a game. So, you know, there's got to be some other options. And the bottom line is obviously they've got to solve that too. This is, you know, kickers are always a weird thing. We all kind of, I think, understand that. But this is 2 years in a row where that position has been a clear weakness. And, you know, last year it didn't cost them because obviously they just kept winning. And, you know, there were some games where Austin Seibert or Gonzalez were
cost them in the Dallas game at home. The extra point that Seibert missed.
Yes, the extra point. Yes, absolutely right. But, you know, and this year it's just been so bad. It's not like you can blame the season on Matt Gay, but it's just an obvious weakness at a time when the rest of the league has got guys making 60-yard kicks. That's something, again, I don't know that you fix that now or I don't know what you do, but I'd certainly be looking because, you know, there are guys out there like Matthew Wright who they had kick for them in the Kansas City game when Gay was out. He also
He hit a game winner.
Yeah, I mean, you
know, who'd he hit the game winner for?
Oh my God, Kevin! I
there were five of them yesterday, tied a record.
Yeah.
For the most.
Yeah, was it? Yeah.
Was it Chicago?
Yeah. That's what I was going to guess. I wasn't positive that was going to be my guess. But I mean, look, he's on the street for a reason too. It's not like, you know, he's necessarily all that. But yeah, at this point, I think I would bring in somebody. And I don't know what the locker room thinks or not. But you know, it's if you can't, you know, if you don't have any confidence that the guy can make the kick from 50 plus, and I don't know why they would at this point, then you know, in 2025, that's a problem. Maybe it's not as big of a deal in 1985, but in 2025, it's a problem. So yeah, I think they, you know, look, they gave him the biggest 1 year deal ever for a kicker.
Who the Texans, by the way, right? Matthew Wright.
Oh, the Texans. Okay, gotcha. It's a relatively small thing compared to everything else we're discussing because it's only a 1 year deal anyway. He's probably gone after the end of the season. But, you know, in the name of competition, which they preach and all teams do, it seems like we've reached a point where, you know, you should at least be bringing.
Yeah, he's missed six kicks this year, and five of them have been from 50. And out, which was the issue that they had bringing him in from last year. He's made four 50-plus yarders, but he's missed five. So there you go. He has not missed an extra point this year, which is nice. All right, I got to run.
Yeah, man. We'll talk. See ya.
Ben Standing writes a Substack column, does such a good job covering the team, has a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can follow him on X to get access to all of that at Ben Standing. All right, it was a crazy day in the NFL. We'll go around it when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Bish will be back in a couple of weeks running the three-man show. Did you see the Jamar Chase, Jalen Ramsey back and forth?
I did. I saw Jamar Chase spit in the direction of Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to guess.
In the direction. I think he's Loogie landed on Jalen Ramsey's jersey.
Well, I'm going to guess he's going to face a suspension.
Here's what I wanted to ask you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on TV.
Yeah.
How is he denying he said something after the game? Like, I've never spit on a man.
I don't know what he's talking about.
It's clear, like it's clear right there.
Yeah, by the
just watch the video.
That's like probably the one of the most disrespectful things you can do.
It's pretty
to
bad.
Another person. Just blatantly spit in their face. Like
I don't think anybody's
like, what sort of low class individual are you that you're going to just go spit in somebody's face?
I
understand it's in the heat of battle. You guys are, you know, emotions are running high, but to spit in some other dude's face is just, to me, that's like completely classless, lowest of the low. It's almost like caveman type behavior.
I don't think anybody's ever spit on me. Anybody ever spit on you?
No. Would you ever spit in somebody's face? No matter how upset you are with them, would you get into a confrontation and spit in their face?
I don't think so. EB, have you ever been spit on?
I don't think so. No.
Like, I think I've been swung on.
I've definitely been sucker punched.
I've been shoved. And been in, but you know, most of them are like basketball
that's
things.
That's disrespectful.
Right.
Spitting in somebody, a man's face, is a complete and utter lack of respect for that person that's standing 3 feet away from you.
The quote after the game from Jamar Chase, quote, "I didn't spit on nobody."
Well,
the video is right there.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking.
What do you think? People aren't going to see the video?
Right. It's only the most popular sport on television in America. By far.
By far.
It's not even close. They're going to catch every camera angle of what happens on the field. How many cameras are a typical
and
NFL game?
Is it possible? 20, 30? Is it possible that he would just, because I didn't see the video, I just saw the reading about it, etc. Is it possible he just like sneezed or was talking?
They were jawing at each other for.
I understand.
There was a back and forth,
yeah.
And I guess they have a trash talking history, and then they were face to face. Now, he didn't spit in his face. He kind of shot it downwards, and it appeared to land like kind of in his chest,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, I mean, it's not a great defense, but the only defense I'd say is he didn't spit like at Jalen Ramsey's face. He kind of spat down.
He spat on him.
Yes, he
did. It's not like he was trying to spit on the ground and missed.
I said it's a minor defense.
Yeah, he spat directly on him.
It's just not even something I would think to do.
Never.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
Roberto Alomar did it.
Because you have class, EB. You're raised,
thank you, Cakes.
You're raised correctly.
Thank you.
You're raised not to spit in somebody's face.
Yeah, you're raised to punch at them.
Even if you're upset at them.
No, I'm cursed at them.
Again, I feel like a punch is less disrespectful
I agree.
Than spitting in a man's face.
A sucker punch is not.
A sucker punch, yeah. I mean, you have to have some sort of honor if you're going to get into a fight.
That wouldn't
with
be
somebody.
A sucker punch. I mean, punches in the NFL are stupid because they got their helmets on anyway.
A punch but even a spit, when somebody's not looking.
Even right? A spit is stupid because he's got a face mask.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, you're navigating the face mask.
He should completely get suspended for a game, and he's going to pay a hefty fine.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Ramsey's the one who got kicked out of the game.
Well, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't go to the video and see Ja'Marr Chase spitting on him and eject him, too.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Right? Bunch of people want to still chime in. A lot of people actually, you know, people are off AP. Like, I feel like the AP bandwagon and honeymoon is over.
Oh, it's definitely over.
People are off DQ to an extent, too. No doubt.
I think it's more an AP, which is crazy. Because, again, a year ago, it was in Adam we trust. And sure, a lot of the things haven't worked out this year, but the whole knock on the Snyder regime for more than two decades was you got a meddlesome owner, you don't have a real GM, you got like tools like Vinny Serrato and Bruce Allen involved. Now they got a real professional general manager. Let him cook, right? Let Adam cook.
I'm glad he's there. I wanted to be here for the long term if he does it correctly. If he misses on a bunch of picks and or trades, his job is under review like everybody else is in the organization. He does not walk on water.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
If you say he did a great job in year one, and in year two you're going to say he did a bad job, should you still let Adam cook?
He should still be allowed to do his job to his fullest potential. I'm just saying the guns are trained on him now. Whereas a year ago, he could do no wrong.
And the guns will be trained on Dan Quinn next year.
That honeymoon phase has lapsed for him.
No, it's over. Next year's year three. They got to win.
Yeah.
I don't know to the extent.
This year was a hiccup year. Tons of injuries. Rosters just crushed by injuries. Understood. Next year, you got to build this thing up with a softer schedule and a really good offseason.
Yep.
If we don't see market improvements, then heading into year four, you're really on thin ice.
Year one changed the trajectory and the expectations, but when this regime took over with Adam Peters as GM, he then hires Dan Quinn, we all figured it would be year three. Like, year one is a rebuild. Year two, you're hoping for improvement. Year three is the year that you got to make your mark.
Right.
It's just that things changed because last year was so fantastic.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Let's go to Matt in Woodbridge. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, Matt.
Good.
Hey, so look, Dan Quinn's the problem. He's guru and superpower, crazy words to use.
Why?
He had nothing to do with the Legion of Doom. He took over a number one defense because Pete Carroll was tired of calling the defense because he had to focus on the
offense. Well, in those 2 years that he was there, they were number one in defense in yards allowed, both years.
But they were number one before he took over, the 2 years before that.
Well, he didn't
How about his
it.
Last year at Dallas, they were fifth?
So he's like a Nepo baby is what you're saying?
It was one the year before that, and I think it was fifth or seventh the 2 years before he took over. But the year before, they were still number one.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying, in Dallas, look, his last year in Atlanta, you know how we asked about Atlanta? He was head coach. Last year, he did take over as D coordinator.
The year he got axed.
Super
Bowl, he was the defensive coordinator. He called the plays. He was calling the plays for the Falcons in the Super Bowl that they gave up 28-3.
Well, a lot of people blame the offense for that, I remember.
So do you blame the defense's demise this season more on the coaching or the talent?
So let me start with Adam Pearce. He gets a pass, right? Dan Quinn is the defensive guy. He has his guys in there. I know they're not the young, fresh legs that he needs. But this is who Dan Quinn as a whole's defense has been. He averages in the 20s and the late teens throughout his career.
He didn't have great success in Atlanta.
That's not necessarily true. By the way, in points allowed defensively, he was 7th, 5th, and 5th in defense as a defensive coordinator in Dallas.
No, Dallas, and they forced turnovers.
7th, 5th, and 5th. Dallas, then look at everything else. Look at the last 15 years of his career.
I'm looking at his entire career when he's a defensive coordinator. I'm looking at it.
Okay, yeah. So look, they were 25th the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Hey, I got a question for you. You kind of dodged the first question, all right, which was, do you put it more on the coaching or the talent?
Yeah.
All right, but do you think it's a factor that 6 of their opening day starters out of 11 aren't available?
Look, 100%. Last year was the perfect storm.
I asked you a question. Just answer it.
I did. I said yes.
Okay, I didn't hear you say that.
I said yes. I said absolutely. And then, but last year was the perfect storm. This year is the perfect storm the other way. They're somewhere in between. But Dan Quinn has never been a good coach.
Well, okay. Ultimately, right. Time's going to tell. Look, when all he got
thank
hired.
You, thank you.
When he got hired, clearly they were looking at a couple of other guys and Ben Johnson and McDonald. They ended up with Dan Quinn. And his record, I believe, heading into his stint with Washington was one game above 500. I think that's what it was. I remember bringing it up that his resume looked eerily similar to Ron Rivera's. Time's going to tell. Great first year. Took him all the way to the NFC Championship game. Nobody expected that.
Maybe in 3 or 4 years, he'll be doing what I heard Ron Rivera doing this weekend, calling games. Mm. I heard him calling Rams-Seahawks game on radio.
All right, let's go to...
That could be the case. Let's go
to Daryl in Woodbridge. Daryl, what's up?
Yesterday's game, man, I think obviously the team looked better, but I think one of the main reasons for the team looking better is they just played way worse competition. Like
this Dolphins team that you're denigrating put up like mid 30s against both the Falcons and I think they hung 30 on the Bills the
week before. Come back and look at that Falcons game. They played Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was
all right. What about the Bills? Bills had Josh Allen,
and they also turned the ball over 3 times in the red zone. Like that's what happens. Like that's not making excuses.
All right, so you're saying he's nothing special, nothing whatever. You take nothing from that effort yesterday.
Yeah, like if you want to really get to the nitty gritty of why this season sucks, it's really Adam Peters. I don't know what that other caller was talking about, but if you want to be real, Adam Peters, Kyle Shanahan, and John Lynch are Brock Purdy working out away from not having a job. Because they traded their entire draft for Trey Lance.
It's a good point. I was a big Trey Lance flag waver back in the day. Mm-hmm. He was in on mop-up duty yesterday in the Chargers game.
Yeah, and if you want to even break it down further, it's like when you trade for Laremy Tunsil, why are you if you're trading for an offensive lineman, why are you – everyone knew going into this offseason, we need a pass rusher and we need a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You trade for Laremy Tunsil – and then you go ahead and use your first round.
They were trying. You understand the reasoning behind it. They're trying to protect their young,
second-year quarterback. They could have moved Coleman. Tackle Coleman. And probably gotten similar.
But they didn't think
output.
Coleman was good enough.
And Coleman basically played as well as Connerly has. He basically played as well.
Okay, well, then if that's the case, then that's another tick mark against Adam Peters.
In two ways, they were going for it, right? They had an NFC Championship run, so they decided, we're going to go for it. They even did that last year
right.
with the Marshawn Lattimore deal,
yep.
right? We're going for
Swung for the fences.
We're going for it. Laremy Tunsil, we're going for it. Deebo Samuel, we're going for it. The Connerly thing, I think, is a play for the future. And we'll see how it ultimately works out. Like, they believe he could be their Trent Williams, you have an anchor tackle that's going to be there for 10 to 15 years throughout Jaden Daniels' career.
I remember about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I was at MGM National Harbor talking to a poker player dude that I know who made an under bet on 10 wins for the Commanders. And I was like, I don't know if I like your bet so much. His bet's looking pretty good right now. His bet's a big fat winner.
It's a big fat winner. It's already a winner.
I definitely raised an eyebrow. I was like, you bet under 10 wins? I don't know if I like that. That might be a little bit dicey.
Will you do that? Will you get paid right away if you wait for the whole season to play out?
Oh, I
think now that they've already crossed the threshold?
I think he made a bet with, bet with a friend.
I got you.
Yeah, it wasn't with the standard book.
All right, let's go to Steve, Virginia Beach. Steve, what's up? 800-636-1067. What do you think?
Hey, guys. Good morning, man. How you doing? Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
My man kind of stole my thunder. I just want to make 2 points real quick. One, if you remember about 2 years ago when Dallas played Green Bay in the playoffs, you remember Green Bay put up 50, almost 50 on Dallas, and that was Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. The same mess that he brought from Dallas, he then brought to Washington. And so what I'm saying is, and when he was in Seattle, he did good, but he had Hall of Famers on his defense. kind of like, you know, you're going to do good if you got a good Hall of Fame players and everything like that.
He also did pretty darn well in Dallas. They were 7th, 5th, and 5th in points allowed
and they
the
led
3 years he was the defensive coordinator.
And they led the league in turnovers.
You remember, though, like last year when Diggs and Bland were getting all the interceptions, look at the quarterbacks they were playing. Look at the quarterbacks they face.
Yeah.
And when they face a top-line quarterback, they got crushed. Like, and remember, you could run the ball on Dallas last year.
So what would your solution be? I'm curious. Let's just
My
accept everything.
This. My thing is this. We never wanted Dan Quinn. We all know we wanted Ben Johnson, but it didn't work out. So my thing is hire a defensive coordinator like every other team. Get a defensive coordinator. Know what they're doing. Let Dan.
You mean an offensive coordinator.
Let him coach. Huh?
You mean an offensive coordinator.
No, he wants to keep Dan Quinn as the coach and hire a new defense coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah, a new defensive coordinator. And let him and use those picks. We get a first-round pick, trade it down, get some picks, go to the toward the defense, get a receiver, another receiver opposite of Terry McLaurin, and then just jail and just try to and fight this thing out, man, because we were never one player away from a Super Bowl. We wasn't. Our offense, we caught, like I said, we got an easy schedule last year. We caught a lot of teams off guard. We made it to the NFC Championship game. That's good. But what Adam Peters did, just like one play here, one play, especially that Marshawn Lattimore trade, that didn't work out. But it was a swing and a miss. But what I'm saying is just go ahead and just start all over again, rebuild. We know we was in a rebuild from that Ron Rivera mess that we went through for the last 5 years. We knew that. We just hit a home run with the quarterback, and, you know, we just rebuild. The fans will accept it. We will accept it.
Well, that's what they're going to do. It's undeniable that's what they're going to do in the offseason. I'm just saying, look, it didn't work out, but in retrospect, they tried to bolster the offense around Jaden Daniels, most specifically with drafting Connerly, with trading for acquiring Tunsil, and same thing with Debo. The offense was supposed to be better. That was our whole narrative. Offense can be better. Defense, we had questions about. All right. But they really thought that what they needed to do was figure out a way to stop Saquon Barkley because that's what got them last year, right? That's what prevented them from winning the Super Bowl. So that's why they brought in Kinlaw. And Kinlaw's actually been kind of a hit. It's just all those other pieces. Dedrick Wise basically didn't play. Dorrance Armstrong's been out for a month. That's your defensive ends. I'm not saying you shouldn't do better, but that's what they had. So those starters are out.
They're relying on 36-year-old Von Miller, and is Preston Smith 32? Like, they're bringing in old, like, not washed,
well,
but pretty
also,
close to the end guys.
They're also relying way too much on Bobby Wagner.
100%.
Way too much. I mean, it was borderline whether or not they should have brought him back. I never for a second thought they'd bring him back and he'd play 100% of the plays.
Right.
That's unbelievable to me.
I think he's had a couple of bad plays, but I don't think he's the problem play in and play out.
He's part of the
He's
problem.
Their leading tackler.
Somebody's got to make the tackles. He's very good at tackling guys that run right at him or picking
well,
a
how
hole.
How come other guys in the league aren't as good at that?
I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer, but he just doesn't have the range.
I know he
they
doesn't have the range.
They just get exploited. I feel like they just exploit him.
A few times.
That's all it takes. One or two exploitation's a game.
Yeah, but I don't know that anybody, like if you pick out, oh, he got toasted by Bijan Robinson. I don't know that any linebacker you're going to put there in space is going to be able to stop those guys.
I think he's going to lose that battle.
I think he gets toasted by everybody in space. Literally everybody.
I just don't think he's down on the list and problems with that defense.
Would you bring him back?
I'm not saying I would bring him back.
No.
Honestly, would you bring him back?
But
right now,
remember last week, I think it was McGee that was in coverage against a running back that that ran like an angle route, just did the old in and out, just got toasted.
You thank him for his service. He's going to be wearing a gold jacket 5 years after he retires. Everybody knows this, but you know when somebody's near the end. You can see it. You can sense it.
And yet he plays 100% of the plays.
Because they got no other options. They got nobody better, which is sad.
All right, 800-636-1067. Very, very frustrating loss. Not because the season was particularly on the line. It was already over. But it was a winnable game that we threw away. And I'm pissed off about it, for one. 800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Our buddy Jay Gruden joins us every single Monday after Washington's latest game, normally at 5 o'clock, but he's traveling today. So he's on the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, or F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln in Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
So, Jay, we talked about this in our first hour. How much better should we feel after four blowout losses in a row, three against pretty elite teams, but all against really, really good offenses? When Washington hangs, goes to overtime, plays a really close, competitive, normal NFL game, but a bad team beats them after trying to give them the game, and Washington gave it back.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. That's a game when you watch a film that Washington looked like the better team all across the board. I mean, they played really good. They played spirited ball on defense. Gave up a couple big plays. Offensively, they moved the ball up and down the field, did pretty good in the running game. Mariota had an efficient day in the passing game, but the kicking game hurt them. The punt return drop hurt them, and red zone efficiency hurt them. So you fly out of Spain miserable that you lost the game. No way are you in any way, shape, or form excited that you hung in there in a football game. You're sick that you lost the game.
What would frustrate you most here as a coach? Not over the stretch where you're getting blown out, but in a game like this, where, as you mentioned, so many opportunities, so many kind of self-inflicted wounds, what part would frustrate you the most, do you think?
Wow, I think probably the red zone issues that they had, the chance to maybe kick a field goal, get a lead. The drop punt was really absolutely horrific. I'd probably say the drop punt, number one, and then number two, the red zone deficiency.
I want to go to the defense. I think that's the story of the day. You got a new play caller, quote-unquote a new coordinator, with Quinn taking over for Witt. The results were way, way better. There's no doubt about that. You look at some of the things they were able to do in this game. Only three conversions on third down, which was the best since week six. Lowest net passing since week eight. Two turnover on downs, first time in 2 years. Three sacks, first time since week eight. Two sacks in the first half, first time since week five. How much of that is the Dolphins and Tua and leveling down in competition, offense helping them with time of possession, and how much was it that they actually played better and Quinn made an impact?
I think all the above, really. I think offense did a great job of keeping the defense fresh, and the defense played hard. They brought some timely blitzes. They did a good job with the inside runs for the most part. The perimeter plays hurt them a little bit. They gave up a couple chunks here and there, but for the most part, they stood up when they had to stand up. It was an impressive day by those guys. And Miami's been playing pretty good. They've won three out of the last four games now, and they've been playing a little bit better on offense, or minus a couple really good players, but they have a lot of speed with Waddle and Devon Achane, and they've been pretty good on offense. So to shut them down like they did, I think, is a tribute to Coach Quinn and the staff and the players for coming out.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. What is it about those outside runs right now? I know Achane does that to a lot of people because he's got so much speed, he's so explosive, but it just feels like whenever they wanted to do it, they could have gotten 10 yards running off that right side.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about Washington's defense is the lateral quickness that they don't have. I think they don't have the ability to cover a lot of grass. If I was Washington's defense, I'd hope the team ran in between the tackles every play because we'd feel pretty good about that. But once they get on the perimeter, there's not a lot of speed out there. And it's tough. Achane does a really good job of setting up his blocks and hit the corner. They do a great job in the perimeter screen game, as did Washington. They had a couple really good hits in this perimeter screen game, the touchdown to Debo. So, now, those are tough plays to stop for a lot of teams, and especially Washington, because they don't have a lot of team speed.
Felt like they did a nice job on Jalen Waddle, though. Now, he had been one of the hottest receivers in the league coming in. Three catches for 52 yards, had the 31-yard catch and run at one point. But seven targets, you know, it wasn't a lot of snaps, only 54 plays for Miami, so maybe that's part of it. But that was the first time in weeks where it didn't feel really, really easy for a wide receiver one.
Yeah, that's true. They did a good job, and you're right. They only had 54 snaps because Washington did a good job. Both teams really were pretty efficient in the running game and eating up clock. Both teams were able to move the ball between the 20s pretty good. Just when they got in the red zone, neither team really could capitalize on some opportunities, which made it a lower-scoring game. But, yeah, I think that's one of the big things when you walk into playing the Dolphins. Hey, we got to stop Waddle. We got to limit his explosive plays, and obviously we got to tackle this Devon Achane guy out in the perimeter. You know, those are the two weapons that they have, and that's the only two that they have. And for the most part, they did a pretty good job on Waddle, but, you know, Achane had a couple big hits.
You mentioned the run game for Washington. Chris Rodriguez is averaging 4.7 a pop after a big day yesterday, which is actually the lowest of any total in 3 years for him. He's a career 4.8, 4.9 per carry guy. What do you think of him? What did you see from him yesterday?
I like he runs with his pads down, physical runner. He sees holes, and he hits them pretty good. You know, he's not going to hit you for a 25- or 30-yard game very often, but he can get between the tackles and make positive plays for you, keep the chains in your, obviously in your favor. You know, second and four or five is a hell of a lot better than second and nine. So, yeah, I like Chris the way he runs. He's a tough kid. It's a good change of pace, I think, with the two backs that they have. They're a good change of pace guys, and they both bring value to the franchise.
Jay, with that long flight and everything being so far away from home, go back to that London game, which resulted in a tie, which still irritates me, to be honest with you. I wonder how you feel about it. But back then, did you treat that as kind of a special week in the sense that, hey, we know this isn't a normal road city in the NFL. This is kind of a unique deal. Did you do some of that team bonding stuff and kind of make it a sleepaway camp and things like that? And kind of how would you have handled that, thinking about this out-of-the-country game?
We tried to make it as normal as possible, even though it wasn't normal at all. You know, we left a little bit later than normal. We flew, I think, Thursday and got there Friday morning, and we had our practice. We had to go in there and get dressed and have practice Friday morning. Deshaun and Trent Williams were sitting by the goalpost taking a nap, and we're getting ready for a walkthrough. And, yeah, it was tough. And then we had to go in there and have meetings and all that stuff. It was a rough Friday, but once we got this Friday night and Saturday, we had a couple activities. It was fun. And then, of course, the game was you know, we were pretty efficient in that game. We had a couple bad calls by the referees, a couple missed kicks. We tied that damn game. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. Worst PI call in the history on Pierre Garçon. But it was. I think it was a good deal for the players and the staff to witness and to experience one time. One time was enough, though.
Looking at the numbers from that game, Kirko threw for 458. And it looks like Crowder went for a hundo, and Jordan Reed
had a huge game.
9 for 99. Vernon Davis, 5 for 93. Everybody ate. Garcon, 6 for 70. You guys had a day.
Spread it around. Yeah, Kirk did a great job of spreading around. We had a good plan. You know, I coached with the Bengals, and I know Mike Zimmer's defense and Gunther. We had a pretty good plan for those guys attacking their coverage. It was fun, and Kirk did a great job getting the ball out. We picked up their blitzes, which was fun because that's Zimmer and Gunther, especially the double-A bull crap. And we got it up pretty good, but we ended up with a tie.
Yeah, you needed one more kick. Was it Dustin Hopkins, I think, at
that
time?
I think it was Dustin Hopkins.
That couldn't drill the kick, and you guys end up tying the game. All right, back to the 2025 Commanders and what Dan Quinn's going through. So now they go into their bye week. How would you go about this in a lost season with all these injuries, obviously? The record is now 3-8. Take us through the days ahead here. Do you, as a coach, take a few days off to recharge the batteries, to give your staff time off? Obviously, the players will get plenty of it. How does that work?
Yeah, for sure. You give everybody a couple of days off. And then when they come back to the building, it's business as usual, man. We got to put our best foot forward. And we have six games left, and we want to win as many as we can. We got to get these guys ready. We got to prepare them. It's normal football. You're not going to take anything for granted. You want your best players to play. You want your team to get some wins. I mean, you only have 17 of these games a year. So find out the best players, play them, and try to get some wins against some good teams. I mean, Philadelphia's going to be playing for the number one seed in the NFC. Let's spoil their party. You know what I mean? You got to play Dallas again. It's always good to beat Dallas. Hell. So there's a lot of good football left to be played. I think the coaches will be motivated. I think the players have to be motivated by the coaches. And I think when it comes game time, they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, how do you do it? I mean, it's easy to say. It's another thing to kind of get up for these kinds of games, to your point. Like, this is master of motivation type stuff here, right?
Yeah, it's easy to say that we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Let's go play. But it is football. And, you know, as a kid growing up in college and high school, you're not always playing for championships. You're not always playing for rings. You're playing to play, to have some fun and kick the opponent's ass. That's what you're playing for. You're looking for competitive people to do that. And I think Coach Quinn and will have a good – well, this will be a good test for him to really identify the players that he wants in his building for years to come as far as the competitive guys that want to go out there and put their best foot forward and win games, no matter the situation.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're at Nats Park today. We're going to be talking to the brand-new manager of the Nats, just introduced, Blake Butera, coming up in about 15 minutes on the show. And Paul Toboni, the president of Baseball Ops, stops by at 5. Right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, you're hearing from former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden. Washington losing a sixth straight game yesterday. They were over in Madrid taking on the Dolphins. Jay, you mentioned, you know, what lies ahead for Dan. I want to dive into the Jaden decision. So before I lead the witness, if Daniels is healthy and can play a few games at the end of this year, would you bring him back or shut him down?
I bring him back if the offensive line's intact and everybody's playing. You know, you got a chance to beat Philadelphia. I think they play Philadelphia at the end and maybe Dallas, I don't know. But, yeah, for sure I would. I think he's a young quarterback. It's not like it's coming off a knee injury or a back or something like that, or a neck or a concussion. This is an elbow or arm, a left arm at that. So I think I would definitely play him because any experience is good experience for a quarterback.
You said if everybody's playing. So let's say the offensive line is available, and McLaurin should be back out of the bye week anyway. But let's say they are still down some receiver talent like they have been. Would that affect the decision at all, or are you still full go? And what do you say to the people who suggest just shut him down and make sure he's fully healthy going into the offseason and basically redshirt him the rest of the year?
I want to show the world that this guy's back. You know, I'm tired of the narrative that he's too little, he's going to get injured all the time. I want to have a great last two games of the season. I want him to win both games and put the NFC East on a warning track for the Washington Commanders come next year when he's fully healthy for 17 games. I just hate the fact that people are saying, I told you he's going to be hurt all the time because of his frame and his running style. No, get him in there, let him play, let him win some games and show the world that he's the Jaden Daniels we all know.
What would you do different or nothing when he comes back to try to make sure he's healthy?
I'm not going to do anything different, man. He's got a bad arm. You know, it's not a knee. It's not a neck. You know what I mean? I'm playing full court. Now, I might not call as many quarterback design runs and all that stuff, but he's going to run some scramble. But, you know, it's his job to protect himself. He does a good job for his career so far protecting himself. That was just a unique fall that he had on his arm. I don't know what to say about that. But, I just think you got to play the kid. I mean, he's young. He's athletic and he is the franchise for the Washington Commanders, and if he's got a chance to play the last two games and upset some people and put the rest of the league on alert for next year, I'd do it.
I'm with you, and I don't know that anybody would argue that he's the franchise and a second contract guy. I mean, I think everybody's seen enough to know that that's the case. I am curious, though, on double-clicking. It sounds like despite three injuries this year and four dating back to kind of the middle of last year, you don't have any real concerns about durability with him.
I don't know. I mean, I talked to the trainers, but the trainers clear him, and Jaden wants to play. Jaden's a competitor, man. I'd put him out there.
Let me ask it better. I don't mean in terms of bringing him back. You're saying you think it's kind of a few fluky things, but you're not worried about his ability to stay healthy long term.
I'm not at all. No. That's the narrative when he came out of college is what I'm saying. Oh, he's too frail. He's, you know, he runs too much. He takes too many hits, which might be the case. I don't know. But I would put him out there just because I think the team needs it. I think going into the offseason, get a couple wins late in the year, I think would be awesome for the team morale just moving into 2026. And it'd be good for Jaden to get some confidence under his belt. And I don't want to treat this guy like he's some kind of eggshell guy. You know what I mean? He's a quarterback in the National Football League. This isn't going to change. He's going to take some hits. I mean, he's got to deal with it and deliver the ball and make some plays with his legs and do what Jaden does. We can't protect him forever.
How would you treat this bye week coming up, Jay, with a pretty rough stretch coming out with Denver, who had a huge win yesterday. Now they're 9-2. Minnesota blitzes a ton, and then you got that division sort of run there at the end of the year. What would you do during this bye week for the guys?
Well, we prepare for Denver for sure. There's no doubt about it. We try to do this some self-scouting, make sure we're playing the right people, our scheme is intact, make sure our pass protection is okay. We had a couple free runners last week or against Miami and the week before that, so we got to get that cleaned up. We got to get everybody playing on the same page, come up with a great game plan, some good practices, some competitive practices, maybe do some ones-on-ones with some of your extra days and get the guys going.
Jay Gruden, on Grant and Danny, on the Fan. Last night, the Eagles' defense destroyed the Lions. Detroit had some O-line problems when they came here, and Washington couldn't take advantage. Needless to say, the Eagles certainly did, and Jared Goff had one of the worst games, certainly in Detroit, but maybe of his career. What did you make of the statement Philly made as the runaway now leaders in the division?
Yeah, defense still wins championships, that's for sure, and they can win any game with that defense the way they're playing. They got a great secondary, a great defensive line, a linebacking core is deep and fast. So, yeah, they're unbelievable. And then Hurts doesn't make many mistakes, and they just methodically whoop your ass from start to finish. And they're going to be a tough team to beat. That's why I want to see Jaden healthy when they play Philly, kick their ass at the end of the year, knock them out of the number one seed, and move on with 2026.
Would you make a Chiefs-Broncos in the afternoon yesterday?
You know, Broncos, again, they're another team with that incredible defense or pace to break the league record for sacks. They get after you a lot of different ways with a four-man rush, a six-man rush, a five-man rush. Vance Joseph does a great job over there. And Bo Nix, is say what you want about his accuracy and all that stuff, but he is a baller late in the games, man. He makes the throws when he has to and pulls the games out late. And, yeah, they put a number on Patrick and the Chiefs, and Denver's for real now.
Who'd you learn more about? Got about a minute left with you, Jay. The Rams or the Seahawks? 2-point win for L.A. Seattle's defense was actually phenomenal in the game. You wouldn't have known it, but some short field scores for the Rams. What'd you make of that vaunted matchup between 7-2s in the West?
Well, you can't turn the ball. You can't throw four picks, Sam Darnold. You can't do it. You know, he threw some errant passes and a couple pressure passes, and the Rams forced them. The Rams defense is very good. Their front four is good, and Matthew's an efficient quarterback. He's not going to turn the ball over very often, so to beat the Rams, you got to play efficient football, sound football, stay away from penalties and turnovers, because if you turn it over, they're going to whoop you every time. So it's two great teams going at it. I still think Seattle's got a chance to win the NFC West, that's for sure.
Jay, awesome as always, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
You got it, man. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. All home to Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday presented by Chenega Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Commanders fall in overtime to the Miami Dolphins in Madrid. I will say, look like the people that made the trip had a good time.
Yeah, I think the Commanders fans that went, you know, seemed to enjoy Madrid. Probably didn't enjoy the way the game unfolded at the end, but it was a fun game to watch on a 9:30 kick on a Sunday morning up until the end.
I had to set my alarm to wake up.
You did?
Yeah, because...
Oh, you were out late.
I was at UFC. I ended up driving.
Okay.
So I was wondering whether I should take an Uber and all that sort of thing. My sister-in-law recommended a parking lot. Mm-hmm. It was about a 17-minute walk to Madison Square Garden. So we parked, walked, got some New York pizza. The city was buzzing. Got to Madison Square Garden.
How much
fights
to park?
End.
$80
50.
50? All right, that's not terrible. 50. To park in New York City, not bad.
Yeah, and then, you know, fights end like 1:15, 1:30, walk back, get back to Summit, New Jersey at 2:45 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I set my alarm for 9:15.
Yeah, I had to watch
woke up to watch the game.
I had to watch the game from my car and then from a Chinese restaurant in Jersey City.
Okay.
On nice. My phone. But I don't think I missed a play. And me and my youngest daughter were completely locked in. Yeah. Threw it away. They gave it away. They fumbled it away. And it's just infuriating.
Yeah, the turnovers were massive.
It was infuriating.
Like a team with this poor of a roster at this point in the season, you can't afford to lose the turnover battle. You have to win that battle in this game against, let's be honest, two pretty evenly matched teams.
Yeah, I mean, two terrible teams.
I mean, it sucks to kind of comp the Commanders to the Dolphins. They're kind of in that neighborhood right now as they're constructed.
Both teams suck.
Yeah.
It sucks to say it, but both teams suck. When you have a winnable game and you give it away, it's freaking infuriating. I don't know you joyless people out there that like losing so much that you're so pleased with, you know, 9 months away from now, we might be able to get a draft pick.
I don't think they love losing. I just think that they look at it as this can be a little silver lining from the losing. Mm. Nobody enjoys losing every week.
We can add it up at the end, and wherever we pick, we pick. That's how I feel. I just want to win winnable games, and that was winnable, and we threw it away. It was infuriating.
By the way, there are 2 weeks now before the next game. Can we have a few kicker tryouts during this next?
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
10 to 12 days.
They gave this guy like $4 million. I think they're going to ride it out.
Who cares? It's called a sunken cost at this point. Who cares that you're paying him $4.2 million? If you want any sort of salvaging of the season, don't you want a semi-reliable field goal kicker from 50-plus?
Yeah.
Which he is not.
I did put up our proven.
I would have kept Zane Gonzalez.
He had all the ticks, and he hit a big kick yesterday. I did put up our Surfside poll of the day. What frustrated you the most about the Commanders' latest loss? There are three options. Sanderstil's fumble/drop.
Could vote on that right now.
Matt Gay's missed kicks. Zach Ertz's stumble. Or you can go other.
How about Mariota's interception? Start overtime.
That didn't even make the list.
You can only put four choices.
Well, I'm voting for Mikey's muffed punt. That should get 100% of the vote, in my opinion.
It's interesting. Just based on social media, there was so much frustration about Zach Ertz. And you've been clubbing Zach Ertz for false starts, and he had another one yesterday, right?
I think he had
a false start, or he definitely was penalized yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he just doesn't get much separation. Like, Mariota shouldn't make that pass. But
Mariota pumped it too. As soon as you saw him pump, you're like, oh no, he's gonna throw it now. He throws it, and it was just a bad decision.
I think it got to a boiling point with fans and Zach Ertz a little bit because, you know, he has the stumble on fourth down and goal. I mean, who's to say that he catches it right there? But you're kind of assuming like he makes his little move and he can catch it. Mariota's going to put it in a spot to lead him, and he fell down.
People really hate Matt Gay because the early results on the poll are 60%. Are claiming his missed kicks are the
only
most frustrating thing.
Is that Cliff inexplicably kind of shut things down. It was weird. You know, when we make that big play, we get it to where we get it to. I don't know, 37-yard line, whatever the hell we get it to. And then we're just kind of like, we're playing for the center of the field.
Right.
Like, you know, what are we doing? We need to get closer.
Yeah, I thought that they ran it too much on that drive, which forced them to use timeouts and,
right, they were acting like they had a really good field goal kicker from distance.
They ended up having a big pass afterwards, but after they had the Debo pass, and Debo, by the way, had a good game. Mm-hmm. It was his best game in a while. They then run the ball for like a yard or two and then pass to Zach Ertz for like 2 or 3 yards where he drops down. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that was just a waste for 5 yards when time is of the essence. What are you doing with those two plays? Now, part of that might be on Marcus. Like, why is Marcus making the choice to throw a 2-yard pass to Zach Ertz, who never gets yak?
Right. Mm-hmm. You know that's not
that
happening.
Was just a wasted play. It was just wasted time. Here's some responses via social media about Zach Ertz. Because I did the old Zach Ertz is blank, and it got a ton of responses. He's asked to do too much at his age and shows where our team is at the moment. Zach Ertz is trash. No yak Zach. It's pathetic to see how fast he goes down when he gets the ball. Zach Ertz is done. Zach Ertz is old. Zach Ertz is a penalty machine. Zach Ertz is a veteran who should retire.
I mean, he just clicked to 35 years old. I mean, there aren't many top flight 35-year-old tight ends in the NFL.
Just the guns were just trained on Zach Ertz yesterday.
Because
and Matt
there was
Gay.
Nobody else. You're going to throw to Colson Yankoff?
Yeah,
I mean,
they just, did.
There's nobody else. Yeah. You know, we're down to the felt. We guys, and you know, my daughter, she's young. She's 16, but she loves the team. She's like, Dad, I don't even know who half these guys are. I'd explain to her Colson Yankoff was when he made a catch. I'd explain to her, you know, Robbie Chosen and it was a Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones, yeah.
You know, she didn't know who these guys are.
Jacoby Jones had a critical
He did.
I mean,
play.
Somebody's
you know
got to make a play.
I don't expect your 16-year-old daughter to know practice squatters. Okay? That's what a lot of these guys are. They get elevated because the roster's been decimated.
All right,
but clearly, Matt, I'm surprised that you voted for Sandra still.
It's
because
why.
Matt Gay has been
here's why.
Your target all
here's
year.
Here's why.
Because he knew he was going to miss it anyway.
I don't expect Matt Gay to make 50-plus yarders. I expect Mikey Sandra still, who is a high draft pick, who played at Michigan, who's playing football his entire life. I would expect him to be competent enough to field a punt in a critical juncture of the game. He couldn't. He didn't. That's more tilting to me.
You can vote at Junks Radio in our Surfside poll of the day, or you can call us at 1-800-636-1067.
All right, let's go to Franco in D.C. Franco, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, check this out, man. All this Russian roulette we play, man, we spin that barrel a lot, and we spin it, and it keeps stopping, man. I ain't never seen a team where the bullet stops all the time with the barrel. It's crazy. Sometimes mm-hmm. people get away with it, but with us, man, and Zach Hurst got the right name. Zach Hurst, get it? He's a hearse. He need to get in it.
A hearse.
Right, right.
Yeah, man, listen, man, that dude, and why would you put that dude back in them zero? If you didn't learn something from him missing that interception, that his hands wasn't right, you put him back in. Never done it. Y'all didn't instruct him to, look, we just put you back in. If the ball is over here, let it go. No, it wasn't coach. It was coaching. It had to be. Or he didn't listen.
It was almost like it was an even though he said he practices them every day, and I don't doubt that he feels a few. It looked like an afterthought.
Did it look like he practices that multiple times a day?
No, but I'm gonna assume he's not lying. It looked like an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, John Keim tweeted out that he's been doing it for 2 years.
But not in games. That was the best option we had. You notice they replaced Noah Eye on kickoffs because that was atrocious looking, even mm-hmm. though he had one good one last week. What about that Chase Edmondson? He can't return a punt?
I'm going to guess he's returned punts and or kicks at some point in his career.
Well, you could have put Debo back there. But they've kind of shied away from using Debo on special teams because the team has been such ravaged by injuries at receiver.
The game is on the line. I mean, it was so infuriating. You know, the Redskins used to do this years ago. They wouldn't put Darryl Green back there often, but when the game's on the line, you put him back out there.
Yeah.
He's going to field the punt, and maybe he's going to get a big return for you. But you know he's going to field the punt.
I generally don't love my top skill guys being back there because especially here because this roster's already been crushed by injuries. But with 4 minutes left, if you need a good punt return, I'm okay with a one-off.
Yeah.
Instead of just an experiment. Mikey Sanders still was an experiment. Not the time to experiment.
He was sprinting after it like freaking Carl Lewis.
I saw him approaching the ball and I said,
what are you
this
doing?
This is disaster.
Disaster.
Just, of course.
It was going to take a miracle to catch that ball.
Miracle.
But even after the muffed pump, it's a tie game.
Right.
And the Dolphins, by the way, their drive.
They suck.
The Dolphins had the ball and they just decided, you know what, we're just going to run.
Right.
It was 8 straight runs, 8 plays, and Washington stuffed them. In the end, they stuffed them and had a chance to win the game. And so I get why people are fixated on Matt Gay because see
that was
kickers.
A miracle that they stopped
them. Yeah, but
them.
You see. Okay,
that was a miracle they stopped them.
But you stop them.
Everybody else closes out that game.
You would have been happy with the win, right? So you stop them.
Oh, it was still
now you get the ball back. I didn't love the drive. But Mariota hits Debo. Now you're moving. You're out of the hole. Couple plays I didn't like, but now you get Jacoby Jones. Now you're in field goal position. Now should they have gotten more yards? Should they have maybe done something different?
They just shut it
down. Those last couple of plays.
They were acting like they had Brandon Aubrey.
Definitely.
They were at the 5-yard line.
They prime Justin Tucker.
They definitely should have done something different. At the same time, you see 56-yard kicks. Hit all the time in the NFL at this point.
By guys who have that in their tool bag. Matt Gay does not have a 55-yarder consistently in his tool bag.
So right. after That's, that Jacoby Jones pass, they're at the 35. Or they're at the, I think they're, no, they're at the 40.
Okay.
They hand the ball off to McNichols 2 yards. Okay, fine. It's first down. Now it's second and eight. Look, they tried to pass to Robbie Chosen on second down and to Chris Moore on third down. That's what you're dealing with.
All right, let's pay off these calls. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy.
Personally, it's the kicker for me because, you know, that like you said, that was Sarah Steele's first punt return attempt in his career. The fact that he was even back there, that's a whole nother discussion. I mean, and why he was even trying to field it, do they not tell him not to try to catch that in that situation?
I would assume they would.
You would hope so.
He doesn't know what he's doing. That's the point. He could practice them all the time in practice. It's not like a game situation. He had no idea how to approach
that. Okay, but if he doesn't know what he's doing, then tell him, run as far away from the ball as you can. Run through the tunnel to get away from the
ball. But he's a football player. Catch the ball. Catch the ball, you're better off than letting it bounce.
He can't.
He doesn't know how to.
If he could have caught it, he would have.
He would have caught that interception if he knew how to catch.
He can't catch.
That's why he's on defense.
If he could catch, yeah, exactly.
Didn't he catch
if
two?
If he could catch, he'd be a wide receiver.
Didn't he catch two interceptions against the Lions in the playoffs last year?
Miracle.
Yeah, I don't know. Miracle. One-off.
Outlier. Yeah. What else, Mo?
The frustration for me is with the kicker, though. The fact that he even has a job still is crazy. And then he's sitting there pointing to the ball. Like, it went left to right. Like, you're trash. Okay,
Mo, not only does he have a job, he's making like $4.3 million a year.
Heard that too. And at what point do we like bring in, obviously they can't find somebody that's better than him. Is there not somebody that can come in and critique his kicking motion to make him better? I mean, is that not a process that is implemented in the NFL?
Kicking consultant.
I'm right with you. Mo, I would bring in literally a Greyhound bus with every seat filled with kicking prospects. How many people could fit on a Greyhound bus? 80? 100? I'd have 100 freaking kickers show up at Commanders Park, and I'd find one that's better than Matt Gay.
They should draft that Michigan kicker. He's pretty good. I think he's missed a few this year, but he was All-American.
That's pretty good. If you want to draft him in the 6th or 7th round, fine. That's for next season. I'm talking about tomorrow.
Why don't you bring a Greyhound
bus pulling up to Commanders Park, crash through the security gate if you have to.
I don't think
filled with kickers.
I don't think he has a job right now. Austin Seibert.
Yeah, put him in the bus.
I think he retired.
He's just straight up retired.
I think he retired.
Give him a plane ticket, send him to Ashburn, and put him through a workout.
You have one of the most premier, iconic soccer teams right there in Madrid. Go find one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any of those guys.
They make too much money over there.
Show up with respective
kickers. I'm telling you.
Seibert hit 7 field goals in a game for him last year.
Yeah. I don't know if fans feel the same way as I do, but this was a lost season. There's no doubt about it. It was a lost season before the game started, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
This loss was more frustrating maybe than any of them.
Do you agree with EB? 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.